but Moshe Young, Parshas Korach.
What's the meaning of power? Can you describe Moshe?
Good morning, it's nice to be here in Manchester again. Every once a year I like to come here and see the crowds. Baruch Hashem, it's very nice. It's Max. I'd like to talk today about the Indian of power, control, challenges. Today to see what it's all about. Everyone speaks about, Lamashal is simple, if you climb a ladder, when you climb a ladder you obviously have to push down on one rung in order to get up to a higher rung. So if you're doing that, that means you're controlling something, perhaps gravity, whatever it is, but you have to control something in order to have success to go higher. And that happens in life all the time. All challenges are like that. There's always a struggle for power. Whether you're seeking power, or automatically you have power, you have koach, whatever it is, it's always a challenge. In fact, the Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew, the word for a battle is hilochem, nilcham. Why is it in a nifal form? Those are follow dikduk. It's a, like a reflexive, passive. It's a passive sort of thing. It's something you can't fight against nothing. You always have to fight against something. Every battle, there are always two sides to it. So in success, when you're trying to succeed, that means you're overcoming certain difficulties. Call it generally difficulties. We're overcoming something that's a challenge, and that is called milchama, that is fighting with something. I'm not talking about a bad milchama, but that's the way it is. You have to overcome something. So it's always a struggle for power. And the struggle for power you find throughout the world in every situation, whether it's politics, whether it's social things, husbands and wives, parents and children, schools and pupils. Wherever it is, it's always a case of power. Who is in control? Again, a dictatorship means a person wants to be completely in control. But a school is not meant to be like that. Parents are not meant to be like that. And institutions are not meant to be like that. But the fact remains, the Metzius is, that there is an element of control. People who start a Mosad, people who run something, they want it to be according to their way. So that's also a battle, a constant battle. Again, it should be a benevolent dictatorship, so to speak. But that's the way things go. And that's the whole time is like that. But if a person wants to do something for somebody else, that's called a chesed. You have to have what's called an empathy in chesed. I mean, you have to have a feeling for chesed. Chesed is always defined as something which you do for somebody else. The Chovos HaLevavos says, for instance, when you give tzedakah, you get tzedakah, then it's also, there's an element of empathy, but also you're receiving something back from it. So the Chovos HaLevavos will say, I'll give you like a moshel, modern type, I mean, contemporary type of moshel. If a person got a headache, what do? You take a paracetamol. So you alleviate your pain by taking some medication. There's also a psychological pain. You see a poor person coming in, and you see a person broken and that sort of thing, so therefore you want to give them some money. So really, you're giving something to somebody else, as a ma'aseh chesed, at the same time you're alleviating your heart pain. You're alleviating the feelings which you have. You feel better. I just give a simple example. A few weeks ago, I was in davening in shul, somewhere else. So everyone just gives a quarter, you know, usually you just put the hand out, you give a quarter, here you just give it a shilling, using old fashioned words. You give 10p, but anyway, but you give that. But then the man came in, there's a younger man came in leading another young man who was blind, you see. People didn't give the quarter, the American quarter, they didn't give that. They gave a dollar. So why do you give a dollar? Just because he's blind? That means a person's got a heartache, a pain, never. It's such a terrible situation. And therefore, you alleviate that. So there's a pasuk about this. There's a pasuk in Tanakh, it says, Ziru lachem tzedakah, kitzu l'fi chesed. Ziru lachem tzedakah, sow for yourself tzedakah, sow, S-O-W, sow seeds, to tzedakah, and kitzu and reap according to the chesed. So the Medrash explains, the Loshon is like this. For instance, if you've got a sack full of wheat, let's say, for the sake of argument, let's say a million seeds in that. So you sow. So you're sowing a million seeds. Now, the point is that not every seed is actually going to take. I mean, some seeds were. It depends on the insects, it depends on the weather, it depends on all sorts of things. So let's say out of that million seeds, perhaps only 90% will grow into seeds. And let's say each stalk of wheat, say the wheat seeds, each stalk will have, say, 40 seeds on it. So therefore you put in a million seeds, so you expect to get 40 million seeds back. But you don't get 40 million seeds back, because again, it depends on the weather, depends on the fertility of the ground and so on. That's the plan. Ziru lachem tzedakah. You're giving money, you're giving tzedakah, whatever tzedakah is. But you are receiving something back for some of these things. You might say even a person like a millionaire gives a moset and something like that, but then he gets his name on a big plaque and so on, and a big dinner and all that type of thing. He is, the Ben Shem makes his cheshbonus. The Ben Shem knows how much of it was real chesed, because you're getting something back for it. And there was ziru lachem tzedakah, litzedakah, sow for yourself at tzedakah, but kitzru, reap according to how much chesed there was. So chesed is giving away something entirely for the other person. And there has to be an element of empathy there. So therefore, if a person is seeking power, if a person is seeking just control, well then there's very little chesed involved. But at the same time, the Ben Shem can make his... he makes the cheshbon in the human mind, and he knows how much of it really was chesed, and how much it was maybe a tzedakah, but how much he's gaining back from it. That's the important thing. Now, the point is, the Gemara says, Lama nivra Adam yechidi. Why was a human being created one? Adam Arishon. Why just one? There were so many millions of ants, maybe, and 55 elephants, and all different, lots of trees, and that. One human being. Lama nivra Adam yechidi. To be told that Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the world was created just for me. Now that's two-sided. You can look at it both ways, two sides of the same coin. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, the world was created just for me. Meaning, the world owes me a living. I'm the most important person. Power. Control. I've got to do what everybody's got to do what I want them to do. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. The other meaning is, Bishvili Nivra means I have got an enormous responsibility. I've got a job to do. The Ben Shem has put me in the world for a particular chush, a particular ability, whatever it is. It can be in business, it can be teaching, it can be drawing and painting, it can be flying to the moon, whatever it is. My title is, I'm a scientist. Bishvili Nivra Olam, the world was created for me. I've got enormous responsibility and I've got to use it. Like a simple marshal would be if somebody was drowning in the lake, in the river, then the person, he wouldn't have time, it's only a marshal, so he wouldn't have time for this sort of thing. But somebody wants to jump in to save that person. So you say, don't jump in. Don't jump in at all. I'm the most powerful swimmer. I've got the gold medal for this and the Olympic Games. I'm a very, very powerful swimmer. Please don't. I say, it's only a marshal. I have time to have this drosha. This conversation is not there. But it's just a marshal. So in other words, a person says, let me go. I go because I'm a stronger swimmer. Then you're doing it purely for the sake of the person. There's no moment of gaiva at that time. It's you want to save the person. So you know you can do it. Imagine you go to Agadol. You go to the Pantan. Yes, it's Angazun, something like that. Nihaska Shaila. So imagine you have a group of the Balabatim who've got a big Kehillah Shaila, and a deputation goes to see the Pantan. And they say, we've got a whole shaila here, we'd like to make to talk about it, and we'd like that the Rav should make a decision about it. So he said, what are you coming to me for? Oh, the plenty time. He
You're going to come to Manchester? Pliny Tamid HaChacham in Manchester? Are you coming to me for? He wouldn't say that. You see, he wouldn't say that because he knows if they come to him, he knows that he's a Godel Batorah, on the Gedolei HaTorah. So he says, Zadok HaGaiver, you know what you can do. You've got a challenge and you know what you can do. Bishvili Nivra Olam. If I can do that particular thing, I can help somebody else. You see, so it's not Gaiver. At the same time, there can be a mixture of Gaiver. Gaiver Nanivus. Moshe Rabbeinu is the honor of Mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu has complete anivus, that means 100% anivus. For another person, we can say, let's say if a person says he's a grosser anav, he's a grosser anav. But is he 100% anav? It's not easy for a person to be an anav. If a person says, well, look, a person might be a big balgaiver, and he says, no, this morning, today, I'm going to be an anav. It's not a balgaiver. And even if a person is a balgaiver all the time, and he feels that what he can achieve, Bishvili Nivra Olam, I've got control, I've got power. If a person thinks like that, I have the power, then Bishvili Nivra Olam, the world was created just for me, that is total gaiva. But if you look the other way, it's total anivus, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. He was actually criticized when he said the, you know, the harder, it come to me for the harder thing, the Lashon, which, I'm not going to that subject, but, you know, the Olam knows that. The way Moshe Rabbeinu said it. But the fact remains, Moshe Rabbeinu was the God of all time. Not just for them, he's Moshe Rabbeinu for all time. He is the one through whom the Ben Shem spoke, Groshel Moshe. As Reb Tzadok HaKohen said, whatever he said always came from the Ben Shem Olam. Say, so hard to imagine that. I mean, he said, which I had a cup of coffee, he said, to speak. Did that come from the Ben Shem as well? Some in the Lashon of Reb Tzadok seems to imply that he only spoke things which were the Ben Shem told it to. But you know, in Nebuah generally, every Navi doesn't get it quite clear in itself. No Navi gets it clear what the Ben Shem is. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was Asper Kladia Meira, which means absolute clarity. That's why every Navi says, Ko Amar Hashem. This is approximately what Hashem said. That's a Yeshaya Navi said, Oili Kinid Mesi. Mesi, Rabbi Yosef Albo says, woe that I am, just imagine, I wish I could understand the Ben Shem Klal, because there are different madrigas in Ruach HaKodesh. And he was criticized because he said, do you know why I can't understand it properly? Because I live in Tamei Sfasai, and the Yidden are not very good. You don't talk to the Ben Shem like that. But that's in the subject in itself. But the fact remains that the only Moshe Rabbeinu was the on of Mikol Adam. Therefore, there was... the empathy of Moshe Rabbeinu for Klal Yisrael was purely chesed, purely for the sake of Klal Yisrael, when he was worried who's going to take over, that Yidden should be Ketzon Shein Lahem Roa. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Mabatel himself totally, total ruchnias. Moshe Rabbeinu is total ruchnias. He's avoided all the gashmis altogether, and he's a total ruchnistic person. There was no element at all of gaiva in him.
Would you say it comes into battle or return to the returning connection? You battle a chayim, return him, be sure to return to.
No, that's there's a difference between asay, return. This is again, so Shmuel's on this. Oh. There's a difference between the two. It means if a person's on the Moshe Rabbeinu, or a person's got to be on the Madrega of, if you do the Ratzon of Hashem, then he will do your Ratzon, means because you've only got one Ratzon. You see. But Bittel means you've got other thoughts in your mind. Bittel is suppression. So it's a beginning by itself. I don't want to go too much into that. So the thing is that this is what Chesed is. So Chesed is according, or tzedakah, I should say. Tzedakah is according to how much chesed there is. That's what it is. So there's such a thing as tyranny. Tyranny means complete control. A person who wants has complete control on other people. And it's total gaiva. A person's only interested in themselves. You know, they talk about certain leaders in the world. I'm not going to talk about them, but there are certain leaders in the world, what you call totally narcissistic, as the Lashon is, means only interested in themselves. What can I do? I'll do this for the sake of the people because I will be rewarded. It'll show me up in a better place.
That is Bishvili Nivra Olam, the world owes me a living. That's what it is. And that is the wrong sort of attitude of Bishvili Nivra Olam. Bishvili Nivra Olam is I can do something, and how can I help the world, you see. Now, the anivus and one's own koach, or restrictions of one's own koach, is seen in the Medrash. The Medrash says that there were four kings, Medalad Malachim, there were four kings from Yehuda, those are Tzadikim, and very powerful people, and each one did differently from each other, each one did differently from the other. Who are the four kings? Is David HaMelech, Asa HaMelech, all from Yehuda, Asa HaMelech, and then there was Yehoshaphat HaMelech, and Chizkiah HaMelech. Each one had a different approach. And the Medrash says like this. David HaMelech says, Ebdechem, I'll chase the enemy, I'll overtake them, and I will kill them, destroy them. That's what he said. All those things. Asa said, I will chase the enemy, and I'll overtake them, but I won't kill them. You see. That's what he said. And Yehoshaphat said, I'm just going to daven. I'm going to daven. That's what I did to the bench. I'm just going to daven. And Chizkiah Melech says, I'm going to bed. You know, Chizkiah Melech and Ashur came and surrounded Yerushalayim. And then in the end, the Malach came and killed the whole of the Assyrian army. But he went, I'm going to put my head under the pillow, I'm going to sleep. Who had the greatest betochen? That's the talks about it. Who had the greatest, when you say Chizkiah HaMelech had the greatest betochen? No, it wasn't. David HaMelech had the greatest betochen. Because David HaMelech says he's going to do everything himself, and I achieve nothing. Rabbeinu Bechaya, at the beginning of the last week, said in Shlach Lecha, Sus Muchen Leyoma Melchoma, but Hashem had to show up. You have to prepare the horse properly for war. You can't say, I'll just prepare part of the infantry and part of the guns and the tanks and so on. I'll just prepare a little bit and the bench will do the rest. Unfortunately, people talk like that. And Rahman Salani, people say when somebody's not well and that type of thing, we did all we could. That's not how one should look at things, is it? So therefore, Sus Muchen Leyoma Melchoma, but Hashem HaTeshua. David HaMelech had the greatest betochen, the greatest emunah. He said, I'm going to do everything. Edefem, I'll chase them. Asigeim, I'll overtake them. I will kill them. I'll do everything. I have done nothing. That's the power, complete power, to destroy the enemy. And yet he believes, I've done nothing. The Bosham did everything. He had the greatest one. And therefore, the next one was Asa. He was frightened. He was frightened that if I chase the enemy and I overtake them and I don't kill them, and I kill them, I will believe I achieved the final point. I did it. I myself did it. And he was frightened. He was frightened to do that. He said, you do it, Avinashah. You do it. I'm not going to do it. So therefore, he was frightened of the gaiva which would come as a result of finishing off the battle. He knew whilst he was chasing the enemy and so on, the Rebbeinu was doing it for him. He's doing it. But he thought, the final thing, I've achieved it. And then you have Yehoshaphat. He said, I'm going to daven. He's going to daven. What's he going to do? He was frightened. It refers to certain wars which they had. Because not in every war, but in certain wars. So Yehoshaphat said, I'm just going to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tefillah, be mispalel with tachanunim. You know, the Gemara says, and so Mishnah Pirkei Avos also says, thou tast tefillah keva, don't make it fixed when the four days in the four approaches in the Gemara defines that. So one of them is tachanunim, crying. Like when you say tachanun, the tachnun, the mice in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the tachnun means a person puts his head down. No, and actually it's in Pashas Korach, Rabbeinu Bechaya talks about it. When you say tachnun, it means why do you put your head down? Why do you press your arm down? He gives three reasons. And one reason, you see this in Rabbeinu Bechaya and Korach, as you said. So one of the reasons is that is like Vayasem Boshepanov. You're just standing in Eima Bafacha before the Rabbanish, and you're going to beg for something. That's why you put your head down. You don't look up. A second reason he gives is you're crying uncontrollably. Imagine Tachnun. So finally, you know, it's a Tachnun. No Tachnun today. Oh, good. And you're saving 1 minute. How long, have you ever noticed how long a Tachnun takes? Except Monday and Thursday, I'm sure. But it takes a minute. A minute's a long time to take Tachnun. But you should be crying, mispalel to the Bernisham. That's Tachnunim. That's what it is. That's what it means. Don't make the philosopher care. It's got to be Tachnunim. And the third reason Rabbeinu Bachaya says is because he says the Goyim. No, first of all, he says it's when you press down on your arm, you're showing you've got no power at all. You don't possess any power at all. I'm not in any control. And he says an interesting thing. He says the Goyim, presumably he's talking about the Christians, Rabbeinu Bachaya. He says when the Goyim put their hands together, when they pray, they do it and they don't know why they're doing it. Says after the Rabbeinu Bachaya. That's, you know, it's the putting hands together and they clasp the hands. The idea that they're just helpless. So what's going back to Chizkiah Melech, he says, Yehoshaphat, I'm just going to daven to the Rabbeinu Shem. I'm just proper tefillahs. And what did Chizkiah Melech say? I'm going to bed. That means he wasn't even davening. So therefore he was frightened, and all the other three were frightened that if they do something more, they'll become a Balgaiva. I control the situation. Can you imagine Chizkiah Melech saying, if I daven, imagine if he'd davened, this Maisim which I said before, of the enemy, the Assyrians, Ashur, Saram Yerushalayim, and he would stand there and be mispalel to the Rabbeinu Shem. He was mispalel Chizkiah Melech for other things, for his own life and so on. But the point is, if he were to be mispalel, and then all of a sudden the Malach would come and kill out the whole army of the Assyrians, what would he say? My tefillahs haven't gloomed. My tefillahs worked. Now that could be a gaiva. You're supposed to believe that your tefillahs do work. One of those, Rebbe Dessler says, and one of the drachim in tefillah is you've got to believe that Benjamin's got the yacholas. He's got the ability to do it. So when you daven, you have to believe. If you think that the Benjamin can't do it, that's already not pure emunah. The important thing is, when Rebbe Tzadik, he said like this, you know, he said, Hashem sfasai tiftach ufi yagiti lasecha. That means, Hashem, open up my mouth and my lips, and my fi yagid, and my mouth will declare tehillasecha. What's tehillasecha? What you, Rabbeinu Shem, can do. That's the tehillas. Atachonim. Rofi Neman. That's what tehillasecha means. Right at the end of the Shemona Esrei, what do you say? Yil ratzo nimrei fi, vehegyon li v'felech Hashem tzuri. Tzuri, my rock, or you form me, whatever the pshat of tzuri means. Vego ali, and redeems me from the Satan who whispers into my ear, it's not going to happen. Imagine a person who's fired for Parnosa, and imagine a poor beggar in the street. He says, I wish, Munchen, please make me a millionaire. Satan says, I've come off it. You're going to be a millionaire? You're not going to be a millionaire? But imagine if he would be, you have that with Rav Chanina ben Dosa, you know, these type of things. You see, but really, that's a Shem Tzuri, but go Ali, and the Sotner whispers into my ear. So you've got to believe Benjamin can do anything, and that's what Tefillah is. So Chizkiah Melech was frightened that if he's mispalel to the Rabbeinu Shem, he'll say, my Tefillah's world, I am a big tzaddik. That's what he was afraid of. So, and therefore, if he says that I was afraid of, therefore he's frightened to become a bar gaiva. That is what therefore the koach of a which a person has. A koach which a person, a Benjamin gives a person, whatever sort of power it is, that power emanates from the Benjamin. The world was created for me. That means that I can do all sorts of things. My job is to do that. But the Benjamin is there to help me to do it, to make me do it, you see, and to give me the ability to do it. Asiyata Dishmaya. One must follow the whole time for Asiyata Dishmaya. Whatever it is, whether it's panosa, whether it's for help, for everything. If you know how to paint a room, that's all you need, siyata dishmaya. People don't realize you're passing a driving test to be mispalel beforehand. How many people mispalel beforehand that they should pass the driving test? It could be for all different reasons. I want to drive. Such a young boy, young girl, they're passing, I want a prize. So then the first thing they do, they call the friends into the car. Come on, I'm driving now. A person should be misspelled to the permission for everything. We've got to realize that Shri Sashem the Negdi Summit the whole time. That's what it is. So a person wants to do things. It is natural for a person to want to do things, to have power to do things. But to realize that the power is there of Bishvili Nivra Olam, to be able to help somebody to do something, to have empathy for other people. You have this...
Tefillah Osamach, so how does that fit in with this?
The Tefillah Osamach, yes, I mean, you've got to believe that.
Yeah.
You've got to believe it.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. That's the one, the Drachim of Rabbi Tessa. You've got to believe this. He said the three Drachim, I mentioned one before, that mentioned could do anything. The other two Drachim, I'm not going to that, I'll just say quickly, since you mentioned the point. The other two Drachim in Tefillah, as he says, that you've got to do something for it. You can't expect things from the Benjamin if you're not going to elevate yourself. It's a quid pro quo, so to speak. I've got to change my ways. And the third way, which is Elang Yinyan, which I'm not going to go into, is a milchama with the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Who has a milchama with the Rabbeinu Shlomo? You have it in last week's said also, Moshe Rabbeinu's mispala, Lama Yom Mitzrayim with the Egel. I'm not letting you, Rabbeinu Shlomo, do this because it's going to be Achilal Hashem. Can you imagine? The person said, if you don't give me panosa, it's going to be Achilal Hashem. Can you imagine a person saying that? Avraham Avinu said that about Sodom. Moshe Rabbeinu said that. How many people can say, Rabbeinu Shlomo, please do this for me? So if you don't do it for me, it's going to be Achilal Hashem. Just briefly, you have Hannah, one of her tefillahs was, she wanted a child, like every woman has the maternal instincts, wants a child, but she wanted a tzaddik and all that, whatever she wanted. But the fact is, she said, Rabbeinu Shlomo, if you don't give me a child, I'm going to hide away with somebody. I'll be a sota. No one's going to the details, you understand, know this. I'll be a sota, and my husband, Elkanah, will take me to the base of Mikdash, and I'll have to drink the water, and I've done nothing wrong, and the apostles have the nizas, I'll have to have children. I'll have to have children. And if I don't have children, Tzachilul Hashem, people are going to say it's all mumbo jumbo, this drinking the water. So therefore, that's another derech in tefillah. Can you imagine saying that to somebody, to everyone, please? You say, Rabbeinu Shlomo, if you don't give me what I want, it's going to be Achilul Hashem. You could imagine these things. So a person wants things the whole time, and wants power. Basically, it's power. It's control. Control of one's own life. But one has to be mevatel. As you say, mevatel one's life, because really you want perhaps other things, but a person has to give more than mevatel. It's like an essay of its own, Rabbeinu Shlomo. So you have this all the time. An important thing is, you have in life, generally with families and so on, there's a lot of control. I mean, I see this all the time, it's time you see it here, it always has been, it's getting worse now. The problem with parents and children and situations like that, that there's so many problems which you have. And you have a thing which you have to deal with from time to time, what you call a control freak, a husband who is a control freak. Now, what's a husband who's a control freak? What does that mean? I don't know if you use the phrase in England now. In America, you use it, my way or the highway. Perhaps you use it here as well. You can't say my way or the dual carriageway. It doesn't fit in somehow or other. My way or the highway. My way or the highway. Right? And you sometimes see this the whole time. When a husband says, if a wife says, do you think we can do this? He says, we'll discuss it. Oh, that's a red flag. We'll discuss it. It's a red flag. Control. He wants control. And you know what the Gemara says? A person should be careful not to put a terrific amount of fear in his house. You know, you say in Bamei Mavlikim, a person comes in, he says, Asartem, have you taken Meiser? Aravtem, is the Erev okay? And Havlikah Ner. I mean, light the candles. Light the candles. He didn't say, have you lit the candles? He's fixed them already into this. The Rebbe Kvega says the husband's duty is to fix up the light, the candles. You know that? That's the Rebbe Kvega being sad. But the thing is, so how does he say it? So the Gemara says, Benachas! Not say that, well, the dinner's not ready yet, why so late? The Manchester Rosh Hashiva Zachani used to say to the husband who came complaining his wife's never ready for Shabbos, he says, do you pick up a brush? That's what the Manchester Rosh Hashiva said. Did you help? Did you wash the dishes? Did you clean up?
Please pass me. Need to clean up. How could she not bring me in a cup of coffee? I've come in. She's busy sweating over the stove and that sort of thing. She's got to stop to give me a cup of coffee. No, make your own coffee then and help her. That's that other time. Le'olam al yatil adam emi yased b'sof beiso. You must not create force. And the Gemara says, because of the ma'aseh, some might be familiar with this in Tanakh, in Shoftim, at the end of Sefer Shoftim, the ma'aseh, it happened before that, before the end, but that's the place where it's put in Sefer Shoftim. The ma'aseh with a person who was a bad-tempered person, and he had a pelegesh. Pelegesh is, it's not marriage, you're not supposed to have a pelegesh, it means you just, no kedushim and no ksuba, the paskin. So it's no, it's like just living together on a permanent basis, but the halacha is a person shouldn't do that. It's already, a melech may have a pelegesh, because a melech's only allowed 18 wives, and therefore who knows that any of the children will be zocher to be a melech after him, so have as many children as possible, so he takes in pelagshim. That's the whole Indian. But an ordinary person should not have a pelegesh. Anyway, this man had a pelegesh, and she ran away from him. He had such a bad-tempered person he was. I'll tell you in a minute what the problem was and what the Odessa talks about it as well. So it was a bad-tempered person, and she ran away. She went home. Then the mice is, she went home. Then he liked her, and she liked him, really, but she couldn't take it anymore. He's such a bad-tempered person. Whatever you say is no good. I'll give you the example which the Gemara brings and the best explains Pshat in that. So the thing is, so she ran away right back to her father's house. So he came looking for her. And he comes and then he spent, and the father-in-law, he called the father-in-law, liked this man so much. And when he came to bring his wife back, his pelegesh back, so the father-in-law said to him, he says, why don't you stay another day? So he loved his company. Okay, I'll stay another day. And next, he had to go, I must go now. But stay another day. He stayed another day. And then another third time, stay another day. No, I can't, really I can't. Well, have a meal before you go. And the meal dragged on, and it was almost dark by the time he did leave. He took his pelegesh, and he went home, and it got dark. And where's he going to stay overnight? He had to stay, to go back, he had to stay overnight. So he arrived he said, we're not going to the Goisha town. It was the Yabusi, Yerushalayim it was actually, the Yabusim. We're not going there, Goyim. You can't trust the Goyim. So we're not going there. There's a nice Yiddish town called Givon, in the state of Binyamin, a lovely town there. We'll go in there, and he came there, and nobody would give him any border lodgings. Nobody took him in at all. Yiddish people in the state of Binyamin. Nobody took him in. And there was an old man who came there, who was a visitor, and he said, come in, I'll look after you. And the people of Givagoth, just mamish with the same as Lot, and now she's Sodom, the same Lushan as you find in the Navi, same Lushan. They wanted to bring out this man, the Pelegesh. Lemaisa, they took the Pelegesh, not the man, and so on. Cut a long Maisa short. They took the Pelegesh, they did things to her, so the whole of that night. And she, in the morning, she dropped down dead, and this man took his wife, took his pelegesh, who is dead now, took her back home, chopped her body up into 12 parts, and sent it round to all the Shvatim, and the Sanhedrin Paskin. That means the people of Gibeon, Yiddish people, Mshevet bin Yamin, they didn't do anything, they ought to be punished. And they didn't, they said, we don't care, we don't mind, they didn't mind. So therefore, the whole of the Sanhedrin Paskin, the whole Shev of Binyamin, did not want to punish these people who did something to her. Because of that, therefore they decided we have to fight against Binyamin. And they fought against Binyamin, and there was a Muhammad, and actually the Yidden, they're all Yidden, the other Shvatim lost the war. The reason why they lost the war was simply because they were so upset about what happened here, and yet they didn't care about the Avodah Zarah of Micha, Pesel Micha. So like, they worried about the covered of the Ben and not the covered of the father, the Rabbeinu Shlomo, because that's why they lost. But eventually, they fought against Binyamin. Thousands of people died from both sides. Thousands and thousands of Yidden died. Terrible thing. And they died. And so much so that the Shevet Binyamin, only 300 men were left, and they had to
find wives for them, no problems. That's a Tuba Av, and Yishas Tuba Av is a Dev Yom Tov, and they are allowed to remarry. It's against, learn it in the Tanakh, and you all know the story. Now, but what I want to say is that, that he, because of this bad-tempered person, thousands of Yidden died. La'olam al yatil adam ein yisrael. You never know the consequences. What was that? What was the? Why did we get? What was the last straw? What was the last straw which made a runaway? So the Gemara says that he found a hair somewhere. It shouldn't be a hair. And another. That's Rabbi Yasser, and Rabbi Yonas. They argued, the two Elika Chachamim, Rabbi Yasser, Rabbi Yonas, they argued about what was the thing he was bothered about. A hair was found in the wrong place, or there was a fly in the soup. That was the argument. So the point is this, that was what that was called, the Hakpada was about that. Now is the problem. So Rabbi Yasser passed one thing, and Rabbi Yonason passed another thing. And Rabbi Yasser, they were discussing it. And then Rabbi Yasser goes out, and he meets Eliyahu HaNavi. And he says, what's the Rabbeinu Shem Osik with? What's the Rabbeinu Shem dealing with at the moment? Whatever that means, how for us to understand that. What's he Osik at the moment? And he's Osik in the Inya Pilegesh Begiva. He's Osik in that particular Maisa, Pilegesh Begiva. So the point is this. So they ask your question, what do you mean is Osek? Osek means, who's right? Was it a hare? Was it a fly? Is anything hidden from the Klafei Milo? Is anything hidden from the Rabbeinu Shem Olam? He has to have a sophic here and a sophic there. But he wants to show, but that explains, that the Rabbeinu Shem is discussing here Hakpada. Hakpada means, this bothers you, that bothers you. A husband who says, this bothers me, that bothers me. Do you mind? Why do you always leave, I don't know, hair in the sink? Why is the dinner not ready? There are husbands like that, control freaks, you see. Why is this not ready? And you have it today. And it affects, that's what the bench was makdir, so Rabbi Dess says, so important is hakpada. Power. Power gone wrong. That's what it is, hakpada. And you have this with parents and children. How parents want the children, for their own gaiva, they want that the child should be accepted in a certain school. There's a maestro with Rabbi Aaron Scheinman, there's Angesund. There's somebody, I think they put in the form of a video, so somebody saw it. I don't know how it worked. But the point is, they came to Rabbi Aaron Scheinman, Angesund. They came to him and said, the father, I would like my boy to get into this yeshiva. She said, why, whatever the reason. He says, to see gaiva. So he said, oh, but son says, weite gaiva. And then he said another reason, noch weiter geifer. You know, a person has to know what is good for their children. And a person wants the best for the children, obviously. But a person wants the best, it doesn't mean use your geifer. What is the correct thing for the child? So this is another element of power. There's power between husbands and wives, parents and children, the bully in school. The bully in school will grow up to be an omid of the kehillah. Amud kehillah. Very often you have the finest person who's accepted and respected by everybody. He comes home and the way he deals with his wife, the way he deals with his children. That's a bully. He was a bully when he was a child and he's a bully when he grows up. And a bully also needs help as well. In psychology also, a bully needs lots of help. People think just the one who's bullied needs help, but the bully himself needs help, tripping him out of help. And therefore a person should be mabatal one's desires to say Bishvili Nivra Olam, the world owes me a living, and say instead Bishvili Nivra Olam, how can I do things for the sake of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Should be zocher to these sort of machshavas and nights. Nice.